Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. And it's starting at verse 16. It's an incident in the life of the Lord Jesus and the apostles, the disciples there. Verse 16. And behold, there came one, and one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said unto him, that's Jesus speaking now, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love the neighbour as thyself." He could have said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," of course, and hallelujah. But Jesus gave a selection, didn't he, of the various commandments. And verse 20, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, and saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Well, may the Lord seal the truth of his holy word in our hearts tonight. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you that we have opportunity now to, Lord, not just read your word together, which is, Lord, enough, but, Lord, we pray that you might be gracious to bring forth, Lord, thoughts now which are divulged through me, but, Lord, that you might plant in each of our hearts, Lord, which will bear fruit through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Bring fruit even unto eternal life. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. And we pray now that we might be attentive to what you have to say to us tonight. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take for a text tonight something that's found in actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I didn't read it, but I'm going to read it now. And it's verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let me repeat it. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I suppose I was brainwashed at a very early age. I was born into a family, a Christian family. I was brought up to come to church regularly. I was taught to pray and read the Bible, Bible notes, indeed, that had the Bible in it, hallelujah. I was taught all sorts of things when I was young, good things. And as I got older, of course, I could see, perhaps going to school and so forth, that there were differences between myself and others. And in continuing, eventually, brought me to a point, really, where perhaps I was so different that I was somewhat bullied at school. Perhaps you were as well, I don't know. You might have been, but hallelujah. I just want to bring before you something. I call it brainwashing because really I had no particular choice in it, did I? I was born into a family and that was it. Now, you might have been born into a totally different family. It might have been a family where, well, nowadays we might call it dysfunctional. It may be that you didn't know both parents. It may be that you were brought up in a family or an atmosphere where there was swearing and blaspheming. It may be you were brought up in a situation where the things of the world and the values of the world were quite prominent, and moralities and so forth were taken from the world as opposed to taken from scriptural principles. Perhaps somewhat in contrast to myself. I want to say that I do thank the Lord for my upbringing. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. It's good foundational stuff, isn't it, to go to Sunday school and so forth. But what I do want to say to you tonight, that is not sufficient to bring me into that eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In our reading tonight, in Matthew's Gospel, there was this rich young ruler. Now again, he was in a situation, I don't know whether he was brainwashed. It's quite interesting, really, because that term really is not a true term, is it? Insofar that, rather than actually cleaning your brain, you're having certain things put into it, as it were. You're having, it's a bit like when they surface the road outside, isn't it? You know, they lay down the tarmac and so forth. And we're having things laid in our lives, aren't we, when we're being brainwashed, supposedly. I suppose it's a little bit, really, like, I don't even remember the old tape recorders, but if you know anything about the technicalities, and I know very little of them, but apparently, even if you had a tape that had something on it, and you wanted to re-record over it, in other words, you wanted to brainwash it, then it passed through a head, over a head, which actually wiped everything off, before the next head, which was only a few millimetres away, actually laid the audio track on it. And of course, had the audio track been laid over something that was already on it, then you'd get a whole mishmash of confusing sound, wouldn't you? So in that situation, of course, that really was a cleansing before something else was laid on it. But here we have this actually rich young ruler, and he's coming to Jesus, and what is he saying? He's asking the question, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he knew that he had to do something good, or that was what he thought he had to do. Good thing. And there can be a problem with those of us who have been brought up in a Christian family and a Christian background, that we can become very sort of legalistic. And in fact, this man was very much that way, wasn't he? Why callest thou me good, Jesus says? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. In other words, Jesus was advocating here the keeping of the commandments, which is quite right. Indeed, we know what happens when the commandments are transgressed in the law of the land. If we break the speed limit, we might cause an accident, we might cause injury to ourselves. And also we can see other aspects as well. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All these are good commandments that our Lord Jesus is speaking to this young man. Honour thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. It may be that we've had a father who was not very easy to honour. Some people are brought up, aren't they, in abusive situations. There might be their father or indeed their mother who's abusive. But here we have, honour thy father and thy mother. Of course, that's taken from the Ten Commandments. Out in Exodus there, we could read those Ten Commandments. But Jesus is saying here that it's right to do it. And I believe that irrespective of how we've been brought up and how we've been treated by our parents, we're still to honour them. And if we have a difficulty, then we bring that to the Lord and let the Lord sort that one out. Hallelujah. So what does the young man say? He says, all these things I've kept from my youth up. In other words, he was brought up, wasn't he, to keep the commandments. Yet, what lack I yet? In other words, although Jesus is actually giving him the commandments to keep, and he's saying, well, I've kept those, what else have I got to do? What next? Jesus gives it here in verse 21. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Our brother this morning was talking about money and so forth, the things of the world, what the world values. Indeed, Jesus here was advocating to this young man to actually sell all that he had and give it to the poor, and that in doing so he would have treasure in heaven. In other words, he would be making an incredible investment by selling all the material goods that he had and giving to the poor, and he would have treasure actually in heaven. And come and follow me. That is the response that Jesus gave to this young man when the young man said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What can I do? What good thing must I do? And the upshot really was to get rid of this world's baggage, if we can put it in that way, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, that is something of the gospel tonight, isn't it? That if there is anything that's hindering us, if we're worried about our reputation amongst our friends, or if we have any sort of other barriers, we hold on to something in this life dearly, then we're to renounce it. This young man had riches. He was, in the passage here, it's headed the rich young ruler. And he was to, as it were, sell up, give to the poor, and he would have treasure in heaven, but he should come and follow the Lord Jesus. So, is it something that we do that we can have eternal life? I think Jesus is saying here that get rid of anything that hinders, but actually come and follow me. It's following the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that that means repenting of sin, and I believe that it means understanding that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to save us from the consequences of our sin, which is eternal damnation. Jesus spoke a lot about hell and damnation, where the worm doesn't turn, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth and so forth. We read a lot about that in Jesus' ministry. So I believe that these things are real. If they were just a figment of someone's imagination, then they would not be anything to be worried about. But I believe that Jesus came into this world to save us. We cannot, I don't think we can really understand the awesome severity and intensity of eternal damnation. Because we're living in time, as it were, things pass. We talk about time being a healer and so forth. Well, if time is done away with and we're eternal torment, then, yeah, Jesus came to save us from that. And he is the way. He's the only way. If there was any other way, if we could do it by keeping all the commandments, if we could do it by even selling our goods and giving to the poor without actually having to follow Jesus, then if Jesus didn't come, then I believe that we'd be lost in our sin. Again, we know how sin came into the world. It came in through our first parents, Adam and Eve, and it's been tainting mankind ever since. Even to the extreme fact that Jesus, God, came into this world to save us and pay the consequences of our sin, even death on the cross. Hallelujah. And his death the payment, the ransom, was sufficient to stem the wrath of God that will come upon all mankind for those who have obeyed, I believe it is a commandment, to follow the Lord Jesus. Praise his name. So let's see then, is it something that we do? I believe it's something that's already been done for us on Calvary's cross. If we go to Ephesians and chapter 2, we have indeed the means. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's have a look, verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's writing, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." So, it's not by works, it's not by keeping the commandments, it's not by selling everything that we have that we can have eternal life, but it's by following Jesus. It's by grace, and this is the grace of God in sending Jesus into the world. Grace, I've heard it said, if you take the letters of grace, G-R-A-C-E, you could think of it as being God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. For by grace are ye saved. You know, it's through Jesus, isn't it? It's through Christ's expense that we are saved. Through faith, I believe we have to exercise faith. Hallelujah. And that not of yourselves. There's nothing that we can do. I believe we do have to affirm and accept. I do believe we have to believe. Hallelujah. But there is nothing that we can do to actually obtain eternal life, because it's been done already. We have to acknowledge that we're sinners before Almighty God and come with that broken and contrite heart and spirit before him. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I want to get back to our text, because what we find here is that when a person is born again, and I want to say that just as my upbringing and background didn't automatically qualify me for eternal life, I had to come to a point of decision in my life where I came, in fact, again, some people might sort of question whether this is right or wrong, but I was at a Billy Graham crusade and the appeal was given and I went forward and I committed my life to the Lord. Now, I know the Lord knew from even before the foundation of the world what was going to happen. Hallelujah. But there it was. There was a day in my life that I said yes to Jesus, praise his name. But even if one has a difficult background, an abusive background, all sorts of ways in which one could have been brought up, even that at the great judgment is not an excuse, because there are no excuses before Almighty God. Why we disobeyed his commandment to be saved. Why we rejected the work that Jesus did on Calvary's cross. If we do come to the Lord, if we're born again, then we are a new creature. And indeed, our brother brought out this morning about us being, as it were, dead to the world. Our sins being nailed to the cross, and the world being nailed to the cross, as it were, and that we are dead to the standards and the affairs of this world. And that's right, if we're a new creature in Christ, then our life is devoted to him. I think last time I was talking about a relationship, wasn't I? That the man and the wife come together in a relationship. The man is the head of the wife. We have that very carefully shown us in God's word, and indeed the Lord Jesus Christ is our head, isn't he? He's the head of the body, praise his name, and we, as it were, follow him. We submit to him. We're committed to him in our Christian lives. As we know that we're born again, adopted into the family of God. And it's lovely, isn't it, to meet up with fellow brothers and sisters as we go to different places. But what we need to understand is that the gospel call is for all, and indeed it's this rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he thought he had to do something. Well, in fact, he did have to do something. He had to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that that is our call tonight, that we obey and we come and submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And so let me just take those few words there, because we find that when the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I wonder, what is keeping you from the Lord tonight? If you've never professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never committed yourself to him, if you've never really believed in your heart, if other things have got in the way, maybe you've said, well, perhaps when I get a bit older, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll do it then. But no, there is a need. Today is the accepted day. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless those few thoughts to us tonight, and may we not just hear the gospel call, but may we respond to the Lord in these matters. Some lovely verses just to close here, which might be of help to us. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God, O God, thou wilt not despise. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. I wonder whether we're proud tonight, whether we're resisting the Lord in our pride. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. May the Lord bless those wonderful words to our heart tonight.